It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, closet busters, guess what time it is? Well, I don't even have to ask that question because you know what time it is. It is time to once again step out of the closet, stop your closet dwelling, and to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. I'm going to tell you that nothing is off limits, nothing at all. Because when you're learning to step into your truth and embrace your gifts and question the status quo and you're coming out of those closets, nothing can be off limits. There's no damn way.
That's right.
Right, Michelle? I mean, my guest is so ready. And
I feel like I'm in church, Rick.
I know. We're going to church here because, man, when she came to me and we started having conversations about doing this, I loved what she was up to. She's got this great podcast called Nothing is Off Limits. And it made me think, man, when we put those limits on ourselves, we are truly kidding ourselves. Mm-hmm. Today, what we, Michelle and I, want to talk about is not doing that anymore. It's about not letting those little secrets keep holding us. Now, speaking of little secrets, I'm going to tell one about Michelle right now because want to make sure. I want to make sure everybody kind of knows where we're going today. Her little secret, which isn't really a secret, is she's not a lesbian. As far as I know, based on conversations I've had, she really isn't about open relationships. And I'm pretty sure she's not bi. So if you're listening, you're probably going, okay, so Rick, what the hell is she doing on the podcast? This is all about gay lesbian stuff. Well, the reason she's on the podcast is because we are an equal opportunity podcast. We want people from all walks of life to show up and to talk about the closets that they've been coming out of.
And because I'm gay friendly.
Exactly. She is gay friendly. She's part of the music industry. She's an entrepreneur. She's a podcast creator herself. And she's actually an award-winning songwriter, as well as a singer and a voiceover talent artist. She's done some pretty cool shit over her career. She's been with legendary bands, and I don't mean like with. Well, I don't think she has. She's never told this to me, but she's done some pretty cool performances with The Doors, AC/DC, Yes, The Monkees, and Choir.
Well, there might be a few stories in there, Rick, but
I think there probably is. We'll probably get to some of those.
So, yeah, well, I don't know. I may have to be careful.
Yeah, exactly. You know, kiss and tell sometimes the way it's supposed to go.
Let's just say we all have a past.
All of us. Did you guys hear that? We all have a past. So just sometimes it's okay to just say, that's it. We have a past and move on. So speaking of moving on, welcome to the podcast, my friend Michelle Owen.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm so happy to be on here and excited to have an opportunity to share my journey, whatever it is. I mean, it's still unfolding every single day, but with your audience, you know?
I just have to say, audience, isn't her voice just damn sexy? I could just sit and listen to her talk all day, but then I wouldn't get anything done and neither would she. So, well, actually she might, because she'd probably be talking, doing commercials and all that stuff. And I'd still be sitting here. But what I love,
Rick, anytime you want to call me, call me.
I will call you. You know? And what's interesting is I have heard some of your work, and it's interesting because you have quite a voice. It does a lot of different intonations, and I don't know. It's amazing stuff. So let's kind of start there. This is part of the journey. It's like, okay, so here's Michelle. What really got her started? I love the name of your business, Lady Fox Entertainment. So we'll get to that. But
where
did little Michelle come from? Other than, yes, mommy's womb. We know that.
It's funny that you say little Michelle. I've thought a lot about like the little girl in me as I go through my growth spurts. But I come from a family of musicians in Pennsylvania. And everybody had some sort of musical talent. My dad was extremely talented, and so was my mom. They met in the high school band. My mom was a trumpeter, and my dad played clarinet and keyboards and a number of other things, saxophone and stuff, just multi-talented. And so I grew up in a home full of music. And my dad was a full-time musician, so I grew into it. And what I think is interesting is that I was discouraged from doing music for a living. So I was discouraged from being who I really wanted to be, which I think is a nice theme, probably, for our conversation today.
Well, you kind of hit, you know, that nail right on the head. It's like,
yeah, we're not going to waste any time.
Discouraged from being who I was meant to be. Hello, welcome to the Coming Out Lounge. This is the shit we talk about all day long. So,
yeah. Yeah. So I know that feeling from that perspective. And yeah, I mean, my parents struggled. It was not an easy life to lead. So they put it in my head that to be in the arts means that you're committing to a life of being poor. And you're not going to, you know, enjoy your life. You're not going to be able to do things you want to do. And so I was told that I needed to get an education. And by the way, this was mostly my mom talking. My dad was very supportive of me being in the arts, but my mom was the one who made the decisions. And she said, no, you're going to go to college. You're going to get a degree and you're going to be in business and you're going to make money and you're going to do better than we were able to do.
Okay. So people listening, how many of you have heard those sort of things? Maybe not those exact words, but you're going to be this, you're going to be that, you're going to be this, you're going to be that.
Mm-hmm. I bet so many people deal with that.
Well, exactly. And as I'm sitting here, I can confess, as a parent, I think I've said those words way more than I probably should have to my own kids. So,
and it's with good intentions.
It always is.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it took me a long time to realize that, though.
Yeah.
A long time, because I resented the fact that I was held back from doing what I wanted to do for so long. And actually, my own beliefs changed in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, they're right. To do music or to do the arts means that you're just going to be a failure. You're just going to struggle. Not that you're going to be a failure, that you're just going to struggle forever. And so I think that's actually what held me back for so long, was that limited belief that I wasn't going to be able to do it even if I tried.
But what I find interesting about what you just said is to do music, to do this, to do that, is often the same overlay that people put on to those of us in the LGBTQ community. Well, you're doing gay, you're doing bi. Well, not really. We're not doing, we're being. We're being who we are. Yet,
it's, how do you do gay?
Yeah, exactly. How do I do that? Is there, let me go look at the recipe book. Oh, okay. You add a little bit of, you know, a little bit of swish to the right hip, a little bit of swish to the left. And you heighten your voice and there I'm doing gay. No.
Stereotypical. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But in your world, and as you're coming through this, there is a doing, but I also get a sense that you're going to go do this, you're going to go do this, you're going to do this. There was also the underlying tone of, which means you can't be who you are.
Absolutely. And I fought that for so long. I went through a crisis in my head about it, where I went through college. I dedicated myself to getting, you know, the regular corporate job. I went down the whole corporate path for a long time. I was living like a 45-year-old in my early 20s because I just felt like that was what I was supposed to do. And that was what was expected of me. And of course, I'm a people pleaser. I wanted to make my mom happy. I wanted to make my family proud and make them feel like all the hard work that they put into putting me through school and getting me an education was going to pay off, you know? But I was miserable. I can't even explain to you how miserable I was.
Well,
and
join the rest of us in the miserable closet. So there you
go. Yes. Yes, I really did feel like, again, I mean, you already mentioned I am not gay, but I understand the feeling of not being who you are. And I did feel for a very, very, very long time like I needed to hide my other life, which was writing music at night, finding producers and working on my music, studying voiceover and acting. And it was my secret. And where I worked were mostly very conservative companies at the time. I was working in insurance. I was working in consulting. Then I moved to pharmaceuticals and nobody could know about the music side because, oh gosh, that might mean that I'm not dedicated or committed enough to this career that I'm supposed to have with this company. And so I had to pretend like I was full on corporate chick. Little did they know I had the tramp stamp done on my back.
We all have our own little versions of the tramp stamp. Trust me.
It was the year 2000, everyone. It's okay.
Yeah, okay. But it's so interesting, too, that other people like to put the tramp stamps on us because we don't fit into the way they want us to.
Totally.
So here you are, corporate person by day, tramp stamp by night, and welcome to, again, the world of being in the closet. So what started to shift for you? When did it start to like, okay, I can no longer be this way?
Oh, gosh. You know, it was a longer journey than that. It wasn't just one thing. I went in and out of it a lot. I tried to go full time doing, it wasn't actually music that I was doing full time. It was, oh, God, how am I going to make a living now? So the guy that I was with at the time encouraged me to teach vocals. And he said, anybody can teach vocals and you're a singer. And so I just pretended to be a vocal coach for a while. And I made money doing that and then ended up falling into crazy situations where I started writing music. I was a ghostwriter for television music. And it's just you meet people and then you fall into situations. And so I thought, well, I've made it. And now I can be open about what I'm doing for a living. Well, you know, life always kind of throws you curveballs. And so I was married at the time and I got a divorce. And after the divorce, I thought, well, how am I going to, I mean, it's no longer two incomes. How am I going to support myself? Well, I guess I'll have to fall back on the corporate sales and business development. So I went right back again. So it was like a ping pong effect, in and out, in and out. And again, tied back to those limited beliefs of it's really not possible. You may have done it for a little while, but you can't sustain a life like that. You can't do that. You know what I mean? And that was what was stamped into my head. So once again, I let go of my dreams, so to speak, or being who I really was, went back to corporate America, then quit again, then went totally off the rails and became like rocker chick. I decided to do rocker.
Okay, we're doing again. We're, yeah. You know, doing. Yeah. It's so funny. I mean, there's such.
That's why I said that.
Yeah, it's so interesting, though, because there are certain things we do. But when it comes to doing who you are, I don't know that you can do who you are. You have to be.
Yeah. Well, you have to figure it out. You have to live. You have to just explore and try different things. And at the time, that felt right to me, you know, and it wasn't until fast forward to more over the past couple of years. And I went through some major losses. And those were the things that I think pushed me along the path a little bit faster in terms of living authentically and not feeling like I needed to pick one thing or another, but that I could be a little bit of all of these things. And luckily, I found the platform of podcasting to be able to bring it all together. I can create music for it. I can do the voiceover acting that I love. I can also talk to people about things that I'm passionate about, and I can be me when I do it. And I don't have to worry about being too dorky or being too much into music or acting too spiritual or acting too corporate or whatever. You know, it's like I can be all of it, and it is me. All of it is me.
And that means you can make your quirk work, right?
I love that phrase, Rick.
I know you do. When you and I were talking about this, you just you kind of fell in love with it. It is. It's becoming more and more the common language here on the Coming Out Lounge because it's another part of my brand that I'm developing. But
and it's awesome. I'm into marketing big time.
Oh, I know.
Make and your quirk work. We all have a quirk.
We all do. You know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody. I'm not going to really insinuate who they are. And this person said, well, I can't really identify my quirks. I wanted to go, oh, honey, I can. I can identify your quirks in about 30 seconds here and be done with the whole list of them.
Yes.
You know, it's so interesting to start to step into that truth of who we're meant to be, doing the things we're meant to do.
Yeah. And oh, it feels so good.
Well, you said something just a few minutes ago about this kind of ghostwriting thing. And
yeah.
As you said it, I'm like, what I wrote down was ghostwriter for your life. How many of us are being the ghostwriters of our lives and not really being the writers of our lives?
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
Because,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, you gave the words and, you know, then my fabulous little quirky brain said, oh, this is, and of course, now I'm going clear down the tangent. I'm going to write a blog post about it. And then,
do it.
I know, but it's so, I think so much of this journey of where we hide in our closets and then when we try to come out and when we start to embrace our quirks and try to make them work, it's because we have been living a ghost of a life. It's so interesting that the ghost is afterlife to so many people's views, but yet I wonder how many of those are really ghosts of our lives that we're just living.
Well, it's that whole idea of pretending to be someone you're not, right? So there's that main, for, you know, the context of what we're talking about with music is that there was the main composer who took the credit for writing a piece of music that I did. So it wasn't him. It was me. I was pretending to be him.
But, you know, this is interesting because I was just writing an article for Huffington Post this afternoon and I had interviewed, I don't know, probably about 20, 30 men who had come out late in life, have kids, have gone through divorces or in the midst of it or just, you know, they're in different stages. But I was interviewing them because I'm writing a blog post about my book. And one guy said something really beautiful and it ties into what we're talking about here. He says, you know, I really regret spending much of my adult life being inauthentic. And that's a really tough habit to now break because I know I still have patterns of that behavior that are popping up as a defense mechanism of pretending to be somebody that I'm not.
Wow.
And that all came from him pretending for so many years. And I believe he was married for like 13 or 15 or 16 years. He's got two kids, maybe three. But it's interesting how that pretending piece becomes the fabric of our life the more we continue to.
Wow.
And then,
yeah. I mean, he identified himself with it
well,
so
you
much
do. You begin
to a degree.
Yeah. It becomes part of who you are. And then blindly, unconsciously, whatever, you know, not in a mindful state of being. It's just part of who you are and how you show up in life.
But I think it's cool that he can identify and see it and look outside of himself, or rather his higher self is seeing him now, right? And being able to make that shift, because we can change our perspectives and we can change the way we approach things. And I think that's part of everyone's journey, whether you're part of the gay community or not. It doesn't matter what your sexuality, what your color of skin is or whatever. We all have the opportunity while being here to grow, to learn about ourselves, to learn about others. And it's like, it's an amazing experience if you allow yourself to go through it. So many people don't even bother with it.
So I'm curious, you talk about the higher self, which I talk about that a lot too. I mean, when I'm having conversations with people, I'll throw that term out there. And then
most people look at me cross-eyed and they're like,
Okay, so we are like brother and sister from different mothers, because I was just about to say the same thing. It's like, and then I get the deer in the headlights cross-eyed look like, what do you mean? There's a higher self? I mean, are you standing on a stool? I'm like, no, I'm 6'5". You don't want me to stand on a stool, okay? But to me, it's a very interesting concept. So I'm curious, your higher self, when did you really start feeling that higher self talking to you and saying, Michelle, it's time you listen?
Well, I think we all have a wake-up call of some sort that makes that happen. And for everybody, it's something different. I had a few wake-up calls. Mine was a couple losses, major losses that I had. And the first was I raised a red-nosed pity mastiff mix from puppy until he turned 6. He was the love of my life. I had never connected with any living being the way that I connected with that dog. He's my best friend. They always say, you know, man's best friend. But I felt like he saved me. You know, did you ever see those little stickers that people who rescued who? You know?
Yeah.
Well, I really did feel like he rescued me so many ways. And so losing him, and unexpectedly so, because he got cancer and it was like already stage 4. There were no symptoms until one day. And I lost him 2 months later after finding this out. It was unbelievably terrifying and sad, and it was excruciatingly painful to me to lose this companion. And I didn't realize how much I was depending on him for support. And, you know, I went through a deep depression about it. Then I lost my dad. My dad died a year later. So it was like 2 big losses in a row. My dad's was easier to stomach because he was sick for a very long time. So it was like something that I almost was mentally prepared for. I knew it was coming. So, but those back to back put me in a pretty bad depression. And it started this whole soul seeking mission. I had always been into spirituality and, you know, our souls and our soul's plan and all of that intellectually. Yeah. But I'd never really understood it until I started to feel connected with spirituality from the perspective of somebody who's no longer here in their physical body. So then that kind of led me to trying to understand my own purpose for being here. I felt like I didn't have one anymore if I didn't have a little fur baby to take care of. You know, I felt like I had no purpose. I was like, what am I here to do? Why am I here? I don't want to be here anymore. I went through that whole phase. And I think that's what got me to this place where I was like, oh, wow. Okay, I'm starting to see why I'm here in little bits and pieces, little bits and pieces. And it really came through doing all of the interviews that I've done and learning from people and realizing that, okay, my higher self is telling me, like, it's okay, you were supposed to experience this loss. It's causing you to look back at yourself, what your purpose is, why you're here, and to start giving back to other people. You know, stop being so selfish and having selfish pursuits and all those things. I don't know if that really answered your question.
No, it does, because, well, it brought up a lot of different things where, for me, the soul's plan is a beautiful way to describe this. And I think oftentimes when you are out of alignment with your soul's plan, that's when we experience frustration and pain and anxiety and depression and all these things. I mean, Oprah's a big one that talks about this a lot.
Yes.
Getting back to center and getting alignment with your soul is everything begins to come back to where you're meant to be. It's that simple.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You also talked about losing this companion and in your dog and in your dad's, but specifically that came up, you know, around your dog. And for many, many people, especially the people that I have had the privilege of sharing a piece of their life with as they've come through the closet doors, I actually use a very similar metaphor of you're going to lose a friend as you come through the closet doors. But ironically, the friend that you're going to lose is the friend you were really never meant to have, which is the false you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I've never used the word companion, but you just gave me some new stuff to kind of work with people on, because that companion of the false self is so often the thing that keeps you playing in the closet, because that false self keeps showing up, that false companion that says, no, don't get rid of me. Don't get rid of me. I've kept you safe all these years. When in reality, that companion may make you think you're being safe, but in reality, it's actually kept you from being your most truest self, which is the safest self.
That's amazing. It's a beautiful interpretation, because as you were saying it, I thought, man, losing Max forced me to get back on my own two feet, because like I said, I didn't realize how much I depended on him, that companion. I needed him for emotional support. I needed him to make me feel like I had a purpose. I needed him to make me feel responsible. And him being taken away from me, which he's not, by the way, he's with me every day in spirit, but that feeling of not having the purpose anymore, I had to find it for myself. So it's that same idea for your listeners, is you got to let go of that false piece of you that tells you you can't be who you really are. You have to find yourself, and you have to be steadfast in it and put your both feet on the ground and do it.
Well, and there's another connection here too. I'm going to be very transparent right now. I've recently gone through a letting go and a separation of somebody in my life, and it's been years coming. Mm-hmm. As this person continues to show up in my life and just take me for rides that I don't need to be on.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. And
but you, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm dealing with the same kind of thing where it's like, it's because you're allowing them to do that.
Yes. And because I finally put my foot down and said, no, you are not allowed to do this anymore. And I remember the moment on the phone, and this happens to be my father, that he hung up on me. And he said some very harsh things to me. And it came from he's just very much a narcissistic type person. So this I've come to know, and I've come to, yeah. I know it sounds weird to appreciate that, but I finally appreciate it that, okay, I can't do this. Because I've worked so hard to keep integrating him. And I'm not saying at this point he may never get integrated back in, but for now, there's no integration in my life.
Sometimes the best way to deal with a narcissist, which, by the way, I have an expert coming on my podcast to talk about narcissists, how to deal with them in our families, at work, and in our love lives, because we all run across them, and they're unavoidable. But yeah, it's a big thing. In some cases, the best way is to just not engage.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting. The moment that it happened, I was very floored by what took place, because it came so far out of left field. And then in that moment, I said, higher self. So we're back to our higher selves.
Mm-hmm.
In this moment, what would be in your best interest? And I was literally on the freeway driving to LA, and I said, to let him go.
I often talk about my mom in the same way. It's like breaking the chains.
Yes.
It's that kind of feeling where you're just like, nope, taking the leash off.
And I'm really glad this is where we brought this conversation to, because so many people who go through or attempt to or think about coming out of the closet doors, the fear is, I'm going to lose people. My parents are going to reject me, my family, my bosses, friends, whatever.
That is
good. And it's okay. It's okay to let go. So literally 24 hours later, I had texted my mother and kind of set the tone of where we were at and what things were going on. And I remember 24 hours later, literally not even that long, I came home from LA, got in late that night, went to sleep. And I remember waking up the next morning with like just this freshness.
That's awesome.
And no guilt. For the first time, there's not been this guilt of carrying forward.
That's awesome.
And I thought, wow, what a difference this makes.
Doesn't see what happens.
Care, doesn't mean. I know he's still out there, you know, but sometimes you gotta go in your own best interest, not selfishly, but in your own best interest. Mm-hmm. It's time to wash our hands and let the negativity, the narcissism, the abuse, whatever it may be, to let it go.
Mm-hmm. And then also to, at some point, which sometimes takes a while, I'm still going through the process of figuring it out, is to have that feeling of forgiveness, because they don't have the ability to be any other way.
Well, a good girlfriend of mine who we were both going through our coaches training together. And part of the training was we had to do mentor coaching with different people. So you got paired up with different people. And it just so happened at one point her and I were paired up. And I remember working through some stuff around my father with her. Mm-hmm. One of the best places she led me to was this. What if the next time you're feeling this way, or the next time you're having a confrontation, instead of jumping in the arena, as Brené Brown would say, jumping in the arena with him, what if you stood back and you simply said, poor dad, just poor dad, he's not capable of being any other way. How differently would you then feel? And I still to this day remember that feeling that came from me when she said that.
It's freeing.
It's very freeing because now you're not bearing any responsibility to try to change him. You're not any responsibility to try to fix things. You're not. It's simply this.
Mm-hmm.
This is what is.
They call it Tai Chi fighting, I think. It's when you just, you back away.
Yes, of course. Isn't it interesting how we as humans, we have the hardest time backing away?
Yeah. Well, of course, because we want to protect our own sense of self-worth, our own sense of security, and that we're right and we deserve to be heard, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, with certain people just are never going to hear you.
So
or understand you.
Well, it's true. And there's a big nugget right there of wisdom that certain people are just never going to hear you. They're never going to see you. They're never going to understand you.
And you have to be okay with that and let them go.
You do. You have to. I hate to say have to, but I encourage people to step into that space and let them go.
Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. It's, I mean, we're both saying it like, oh yeah, just do that. All right. But it's not.
It's not. A good friend of mine, Jonathan Fields, who does the Good Life Project podcast, he has this beautiful saying. He goes, when somebody tells you no, just realize it's not no. It's just no, not right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you can look at our relationships and you look at the way people show up, and if somebody doesn't accept you now as a gay person or a lesbian or a bisexual or a transgender or as a musician or a voiceover artist or a singer-songwriter, if they don't accept you now, they say, no, you can't be that, then just take it as they can't accept you now. Maybe they never will, but if we try to go forward to that future space, we will just wallow and try to fix. Just take the no as it's no for right now.
And then let it go. Because if you keep trying to make them turn so that it is now, then that's going to drive you crazy.
Absolutely. So in a workshop that I do that I'm actually getting ready to do in just a few weeks for Make Your Quirk Work, one of my favorite exercises is to take a piece of paper. The pieces of paper are different colors so that we can do this little exercise. Each person gets a piece of paper and they write down the name of a person. The person that had probably told them the most that they can't be this, they can't do this, whatever it is. They write that person's name down. They write down what that person has told them they can't be, whether it's gay, a songwriter, you know, a hairstylist, whatever it is. You can't be a divorcee, you can't leave, whatever it is. You write down what they say you can't do. And then the third thing that you do is you write down why you can be that.
Yeah.
Then here's what's interesting is we take these pieces of paper and we roll them up into little balls. We get in a big circle, and I've done this with I've actually done it once with 150 people. We get in a big circle and everybody throws the balls of paper into the middle of the circle. And then when they're all in the middle, on a count of three, everybody runs to the center of the circle and they grab a ball of paper.
Oh, I was going to say, do they stomp all over them?
No, not yet. And then what we do is we actually say, you open up the piece of paper. You make sure it's not yours. This is why they're different colors. So if you know yours is pink, then you try not to pick up a pink one because that eliminates the likelihood of getting your own. You make sure it's not yours. If it is, then we toss and, you know, we get to where everybody doesn't have their own. And then we go around the circle. And each person opens up the piece of paper they have, and they start with I, and they say their own name, Rick. Forgive whoever's name is on the paper for telling me that blah, 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 because I know I can be. And I know that sounds kind of weird that somebody else is going to read your stuff, but it's so empowering to hear somebody else.
Well, you know what, Rick?
Your stuff.
This is interesting because we just got done talking about learning how to, I don't know, align yourself with your higher self or to access your higher self. So this would be almost like, I don't know, an idea of who your higher self speaking to you.
Exactly.
I love that.
And what happens is you hear this other voice saying it. So it diminishes your own internal voice. You're no longer hearing your own internal voice because now the internal voice that makes you feel guilty and weird and off and all that stuff for saying, it's coming from somebody else's voice. And it suddenly becomes so much easier for you to accept.
That's awesome.
At the very end, once we've gone all the way around, then we throw them all into the center again. We clean them up. We throw them in a garbage bag and they go to the dumpster.
Yeah.
It's such an empowering exercise.
That is, because it's this whole symbolism of face it, hear it.
Yes.
And heal it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it. Release it.
Release it. Exactly. So what is something that you have definitely seen yourself release and heal from through your own coming out of your closet's journey? I mean, I know you alluded
There's so many things. Yeah. There are so many things. It's hard to pick one. But if I want to keep it to, you know, I guess what we've covered about me is thinking that I can't do something, right? So it's like exactly what you just talked about. And I'll take it to even the most current thing now, which is people said I can't do a variety podcast and have all different topics that I cover. And, you know, I think that you have to just believe in yourself so much or believe in your mission so much and know that this is the right thing with every piece of yourself, that you have to let go of what other people think. It's about letting go of what other people think. If they don't like it, great. Goodbye. Don't listen to me.
Well, and let it go.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is if they don't like it, then they actually have a right not to like it. That's their own stuff.
Sure. I don't want haters. Nobody does. But it's going to be this idea of staying so deeply rooted in feeling good about what I'm doing that I have to just keep pushing past that. And it's like, you tell me I can't do it. Well, then I'm going to effing show you I can.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's interesting when my book came out and I remember somebody said to me, so what if it's not successful? And I said, it's already successful.
Because you're doing it. Well, the thing is having the courage, having the balls to do something, right? Having the gumption, the grit to put yourself out there and to show your vulnerability, especially to a wider audience, is huge. It takes a lot. It takes strength to do that.
It's interesting that you bring that up because I'm in a very interesting juncture with my little world, my little brick empire here where, you know, I've got the quirk work stuff showing up now. It's starting to be part of the conversation and start... And we're at a juncture where we're like, okay, so does that go create its own brand or does Quirk Work just become part of this brand? And does Rick just become known as the coming out guy?
Well, it sounds like a new book to me.
Well, it is definitely a new book. But, you know, a friend of mine and I were talking about it today. He goes, maybe you reposition, so to speak, without a big repositioning. He goes, maybe you write something as simple on your homepage or your website that I'm the guy who wrote the book about coming out. Literally. And I can help you be unique, be yourself, and come out and make your quirk work. Kind of works together. It's sometimes we think we have to go do these grandiose things. And what really needs to happen is you just got to say, so back to the book, so to speak, frankly, my dear, I'm, and whatever it is.
Yeah.
Because
frankly, my dear.
Exactly. You are whatever you are.
And if you don't like it, tough.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. Well, one of the things I always do at the very close of one of these podcasts, and I wish it wasn't already time. But
I know. I feel like I could talk to you for hours.
We will.
And we would just go down this ever-winding path of all different kinds of things.
Yeah, and maybe this is our next venture. It could be Rick and Michelle. We meet once a week somewhere in L.A.
I love it.
Coffee shop. We turn on our little recorders, and we just do this, and then it becomes a whole new podcast. So there we go.
There you go.
So see, this is how entrepreneurs work. We have these brainstorms, we do this stuff, and then we come out and say, okay, here's our new coming out thing, we're doing this. But I always bring it full circle here.
And we'll have to get licensing rights to that Diana Ross, I'm coming out.
There we go. Exactly. At the end of each podcast, I ask this one question. If you give anybody, based on your own experience of you and your journey and coming into your truth and coming out to be who you are, what would be the piece of advice you would just love to leave listeners with?
I would say to not be afraid to be who you want to be and to stop trying to please everybody else, whether it's your parents or your partner or your friends, feeling like you need to fit in. You have to get to a point where you are okay with who you are and to not regret choices that you've made in the past and to be willing to move forward and to do it with gusto. And to, again, just not be afraid, just go for it. Like, we're here on earth in this lifetime to go down our soul's path, like we were talking about. So don't be afraid, because it's already been planned out and your life is awesome and you are unique. You are special and nobody is like you. So embrace who you are and live your life the fullest you can, because you'll end up having the best experience ever. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, exactly. You're spot on. You're so spot on in that. And I think when we can embrace those things, and I love that you said, don't be afraid, because fear, being afraid, is the thing that will keep us standing still, not moving forward, not stepping into what we're intended to do.
And to rob you from joy.
Totally rob you from it. So, well, I just want to say, so glad you were here, girlfriend, with me on this.
I'm so honored that you asked me to do it, Rick. And you know, I was like, what am I going to say? I don't know what to say.
I was going to bring that up. So since you brought it up, it was so funny. Michelle calls me in a panic or on my cell phone while I'm driving. She's like, I sent you an email and I just, you know, I don't know what to talk about. I'm like, girl, don't even go there, because we're going to have such a good conversation. We don't even, and it's like, okay, I got your back. You got mine. We're going to do this. And now here we are.
So, well, I just hope that I said something that was of inspiration in some way. And
you have filled the airwaves with some great inspiration today. And I just want to say thank you.
Well, fantastic. And thank you, Rick. And you're doing awesome work. And kudos to you for what you do. And big hand claps, big high fives. And to everyone out there listening, Rick's the best. So keep following the man.
Awesome. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard Michelle and I talking about today, you guys know the drill. You gals know the drill. You transgenders, bisexuals, everybody under the sun knows the drill. Hop on to iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you are. Give us a little bit of love. Show us what you think. And go check out thecomingoutcoach.com. You might just find some really cool new stuff there to help you in your journey. Well, not just you might, you will find some cool stuff there to help you in your journeys coming out of the closet. Everything from books and courses to one-on-one, very specific coaching sessions. So give it a shot. Go visit us. And
everyone's fortunate, by the way. Sorry, Rick, but everyone's so fortunate that we live in a day and age where you do have all these resources.
Yes, where we can put these out here. And, you know, there's lots of places we can't, but we're putting them out there. And this is what I love about the technology arena. You can go find these things. You can do these. You can keep them to yourself. And you can eventually go step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of The Coming Out Lounge, and we will catch you in just another week. Take care, everyone. Hey, 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 closet dwellers and Coming Out Lounge listeners. I wanted to invite you to check something out. You know, for all the years that I've been a Coming Out coach, one thing I've learned is sometimes people come to do the work with me and they only need a little bit of help to get over something very particular and very important to them. It could be reconciling their religion and sexuality. Maybe it's learning how to have the difficult conversations where they say, I'm gay. Possibly it could be, oh my God, I'm out of the closet, but now how do I do this same-sex dating and mating sort of thing? Well, what I can tell you is throughout the years, there are common things that show up over and over and over again. And what I've heard most from my clients and listeners of the podcast is, I want a way to work with you just on these particular subjects. Yay, I am so excited because I've taken the action and I've made this possible. So how do you find out about these particular programs? You go to thecomingoutcoach.com, or if you're on the show page right now listening to the podcast or have just listened to the podcast, over to the right-hand side of the podcast description or anything is an icon that says one-on-one coaching sessions. Click on that button. You'll be taken to a page that describes each of the different 9 sessions I'm offering. They are one-on-one sessions that we can do via phone, Skype, or even FaceTime. They're very action-oriented. We go right to the topic that you want to talk about. And each of these sessions also includes a copy of my book, Frankly, My Dear, I'm Gay. So what more could you ask for? You get me for 90 minutes devoted to you, plus my book. So go check it out. See if there's something that could help you as you step out, step up, and step in to living your powerful truth. Take care. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach. I look forward to working with you.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.